This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
And it's sad, the stories that are coming out of Northern California especially, but in Southern California too. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. We've talked about this in a previous hour, but it is pretty scary when you see that people are missing and 15 people are dead, and even a sad story about a couple 100 years old and 98 years old who died in the fire because they certainly couldn't get out fast enough. And what happened was on Sunday night, especially as it was overtaking Sonoma and some of those areas, you had minutes to flee. Not a lot of time to figure out what to do, just to have to flee. And people are coming back to this massive destruction across the areas of wine country and trying to pick up the pieces. But there are no pieces to be picked up. It's just burned out homes and stuff and whatever. But I would say at least they're alive versus those who just could not make it away from it fast enough. And this is what the firefighters are trying to do. I mean, you could even see it just emphasizing the areas in Santa Rosa, California. They had burned wine barrels at a couple of the wineries to emphasize where it hit in the heart of that wine country, that tourist area, and some of the surrounding places as well. And that's what you saw, streets that were burned and cars that didn't even have tires on them because it was so hot. They just melted right off. Can you imagine? I mean, to see those tires melt off the cars and they're just on their axles. And it's a nightmare. It's a mess. It's what happens sometimes in California with the winds, and the wind is part of the story, a very big part of the story, both in the north and in the south, because what's happening in the south as well is they're dealing with the same situation. And when I say they're dealing with the same situation, they're dealing with fires. They're dealing with figuring out ways to put out fires. And the fact that you've got, and every hour it changes. Now they're saying at least 17 people dead and 180 unaccounted for. And that's where we start, again, ATN, with this devastation, the brutal images. The fire chief saying we got outrun by the fires. We couldn't do it. And the description I saw in some news story I was reading I thought was brilliant to give you an idea of how vast it is. Wildfires devouring an area the size of a football field every 3 seconds. That's happening, 3 seconds, a football field, forget it. If you're not out the door and out of the way of it, you are never, ever going to escape it. And that's why so many people were in the middle of it and could not escape. And then in the meantime, while that's happening in California, you have this big Supreme Court ruling. The Supreme Court backing the, because remember, this is the whole travel ban thing. The Supreme Court dropping one of two cases over the president's travel ban, suggesting they're going to probably sidestep a showdown and let the lower courts look at the latest version of the policy. So granting a Trump administration request Tuesday, the justices dismissed an appeal over a provision that expired last month in an earlier version of the travel ban. Now, to explain it correctly, the remaining appeal also involves refugee limits that are still in effect and may meet the same axe, if you will, later this month when the restrictions expire October 24th. But the order, so the justices expressed no views on the merits of the dispute. Even before the high court acted, the focus of the clash was already shifted to federal trial courts around the country where opponents are taking steps to press the challenges. But most certainly, it'll return to the Supreme Court somehow, some way. It will. So the Supreme Court set aside a federal appeals court ruling that blocked the earlier policy and might have served as a precedent for the new challenges. So that's a victory for the Trump administration because they wanted the court to take that step. Justice Sonia Sotomayor dissented from that part of the order. The case the court dropped Tuesday was filed by the ACLU in Maryland. The remaining case is being pushed forward by Hawaii. So remember, the revised policy that came out on the 24th of September limits or bans entry into the U.S. from 8 countries: Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, Chad, North Korea, and Venezuela. And it supersedes, so it really hits home, it supersedes a ban that affected 6 mostly Muslim countries. It's like a spinning top. Where it stops, nobody knows. We know where this has stopped. The U.S. will not be competing for the World Cup this year. For those of you who don't know much about sports or don't care, you might be like, eh. But it is a big deal because they represent, and it's the first time they haven't been there since 86. And they were pretty humiliated. 2-1, they were defeated by Trinidad and Tobago. So the Americans needed just one win over a very bottom team to qualify to go to Russia, and they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it. They had 2 first half goals against them, and they couldn't come back out of that. Try as they might, they couldn't do it. So this is a stunning, stunning moment for the U.S. soccer team. They're not used to this. They're not used to not competing, obviously, if we're saying mid-80s. So if you plan on watching the U.S. in soccer, go USA. You're not going to be doing that because there is not going to be USA this time around. And I think this is a sad story, and I'm going to dip into this quickly and because I have a lot of Navy people in my family. But the Navy announced that the McCain collision was preventable, and they relieved the ship commander and the deputy. So the collision of the USS John McCain with a merchant ship near Singapore in August that killed 10 sailors could have been prevented. What the official statement was that was released is the commanding officer exercised poor judgment and the executive officer exercised poor leadership of the ship's training program. There have been a bunch of naval collisions this year, and it's resulted in a shakeup in the U.S. Navy, especially in Asia. You think of North Korea, all the problems with the South China Sea, not what you want happening. Even the McCain's sister ship, because they have them, the Fitzgerald, almost sank off the coast of Japan in June after colliding with a Philippine container ship. And 7 U.S. sailors were killed then. So the Navy has to get a handle on this, and that's why they're investigating as quickly as possible. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, "Hey, try this"? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Imagine this. You go from on a Texas ranch selling animals to be slaughtered to rescuing animals for sanctuary. I love, love, love this story. Rowdy Girl Sanctuary is the first documented, that we know of, beef cattle ranch to ever convert from selling them from slaughter in the ag industry to actually, like I mentioned, rescuing them. And wow, oh wow, and becoming an actual vegan farm animal sanctuary. Joining us now, she's in our virtual green room, Renee King Sonnen. She's the executive director and founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. Renee, just even saying those words, I guarantee people are listening to this conversation. So we have to roll into it. How did that happen? Tell us your story.
Well, good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for that awesome introduction. How did it happen? Well, it started out with me and my husband remarrying. We had been married in the 90s, divorced, and got remarried in 2010. I'm a city girl, born, dyed in the wool, Texas, you know, girl with boots and went to the rodeo and all of that jazz. Ate barbecue, had one barbecue cook-off, dated at guys in school. But when me and Tommy remarried, he wanted me to move on to the ranch that he had acquired. His family has a generational background in ranching. They own slaughterhouses. You know, he has the brands and the spurs of his great-grandfather and all that. But, you know, when I moved there, I, like most people, really didn't notice the cows in the pasture other than the fact they were just there, like, you know, lots of other cows when you go up and down the country roads of Texas. And something started to happen. I didn't really want to get involved with the ranching business my husband was in. I was more into yoga and meditation, you know, and just doing my thing. And I said, you know, you can do that. I'll do this. I really don't want to open gates, help you with the hay, get on a tractor, all that. And so he decided that he wanted to try to get me involved. So he told me about these two little calves that needed a mama. One of them is Rowdy Girl. That's how we got the name, actually. And the other one was named Bobo. She died prematurely. But Rowdy Girl thrived. And when I was feeding Rowdy Girl, bottle feeding her, I was always laughing. I was happy. And she began to give me an entrance into the reality of the herd. I started seeing them as live, sentient beings. They all had mamas. The babies, you know, knew who their mamas were. I never even thought about it, you know, but all these black cows and this black baby, they all knew who their mama was. And for whatever reason, I found that so odd in the beginning. And I began to see them, and one thing began to lead to the other. When the red trailer pulled up to take the babies to the slaughterhouse the first time, or the sale barn where they went to auction for slaughter, I wasn't prepared for my feelings. It, you know, it happened over a period of several months, 6 months, when the first red trailer went out after I lived there. And I just didn't know that I was going to have the strong reactions I did. And it took 6 years for me to finally break to the point to where, you know, I went vegan, threatened to buy my husband's cows and all that. And there's a big, you know, big story and a big scene in all that, too. So.
Wow. So it had to be crazy when you started to tell other cattle ranchers or people got wind of this. Were they stunned that you had that kind of change of heart? Did you think other cattle ranchers, when they hear your story, could possibly have a change of heart?
Oh, I know they do, because I have conversations with them. They send me messages. You know, we have a program that it's under development called Rancher Advocacy Program. You know, ranchers do love their animals. You know, my husband's a very kind, loving man, loves animals, loves the land. It's just that the tradition and the culture is so entrenched in our psyche that we don't equate the fact that we are raising these animals for food to the fact that we're not being compassionate. It's what we've always done. That's the reason it took me 6 years to change. I mean, gosh, you know, to actually tell my husband, if you take that red trailer back up the road one more time with those babies, if you do it one more time, I'm going to follow it. I'll go to the sale barn if I have to. You can pick me up in jail. You're not going to do it anymore. I mean, for me to finally get to that point to where I challenged my husband's heritage was crazy. So, you know, yeah, ranchers, they're just doing what they know to do. It's not something that you're even taught is, quote unquote, wrong. But when I went vegan for the animals, and I did, I went vegan for the animals because I really began to see who they were, not what they were, my entire reality changed. So that's what started us, you know, on our journey. And eventually I got my husband to let me buy the cows, and he didn't think I would do it. But, you know, we raised $36,000 on social media. I did anyway, and bought my husband's cows, and we became a nonprofit.
Wow. So for your sanctuary, I'm thinking off the top of my head, especially with Texas and Houston, et cetera, what happened when the hurricane hit? Because we saw how disastrous that was. Did you end up, I'm just thinking of this, did you end up saving any animals in that situation?
Yes, we did. Thank you. We evacuated all of our own 96 farm animals to safety without one single fatality, which was heroic in and of itself with all the people that, you know, were involved. Three of the trailers bogged down because of tornadoes and high waters, but we managed to get every single animal out to safety. And during all this process, when we came back home after almost 2 weeks, the devastation was and is still being cleaned up. We were able to rescue a little calf. We named her Harvey Rainbow. She was actually somehow stranded in the floodwaters in a subdivision behind us about a mile away, and the little baby had tremendous rain rot, river rot on her legs. We don't know how she survived. She was actually at somebody's house, you know, just camped out on the doorstep about 6 weeks old. And they were just giving her, you know, some hay and some feed. And this little baby survived, and no rancher claimed her. So she was given to us, and now she's just doing great. We called her Harvey Rainbow.
Oh, I love that. So that happens, and obviously you talked about being a nonprofit. So what typically do you do then? How do you operate as the Rowdy Girl Sanctuary?
Well, we have tours. We have scheduled tours. We have private tours. We are a, like you said, a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're doing everything we can as animal advocates to increase awareness about you know, farm animals in particular. We educate on plant-based food options all the time. We have volunteers that come out that want to help, want to be a part of what we're doing. So, you know, and I'm constantly, you know, fundraising and raising, you know, awareness around the needs that we have because, you know, this is something that the future is going to have to look at. We are indeed in a crisis in our world because of the environment. You know, there's three different reasons to consider the food on your plate. One of them is because of the ethics of the animals. The other is our environmental concerns. And the other, of course, is health.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And people talk about that all the time, especially making the switch that you've made. Obviously huge. You're living it. You're seeing the results of what's happened there. So your husband now, he's all in, right? He totally agrees. He's spreading the word.
Oh, my gosh, Kate, you wouldn't believe it. To watch that man transition to becoming a plant-based vegan is a story all by itself because only I have gotten to see this. I mean, when I first started cooking food for him, he hated it. He was like, I don't want to eat that. I don't like that. So he started cooking for himself. He started making potatoes, jalapenos, and onions. That's what he ate almost every day. But what made him change, finally, I stuck, you know, every documentary I could in front of him, and he watched them. Cowspiracy, Forks Over Knives. He loved the story that T. Colin Campbell had because he had all this research concerning the China study. But anyway, my husband finally went plant-based because he wanted to try it for his health. But he couldn't do it because he loved milk and cheese. And so when he finally had a festival, our first festival in 2015, I think it was, he got his first taste of So Delicious ice cream and Follow Your Heart cheese, and that man said, well, I guess I can give up ice cream and cheese now. And he did, and now he is a great advocate for the animals because he's a former rancher.
Wow. Yeah, who better advocate than your husband? Absolutely. So if people are listening to this, they can find out more by going to rowdygirlsanctuary.org, and if they want to donate, they can donate there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I am I'm right now in Georgetown, Texas, because there is a, if you don't mind me saying so, there's
yeah.
we were on CBS News last night with this story here in Austin because there's a ma and her cow that's in a subdivision out here that they're having to round up and get out of here. And we're trying to advocate for the animals so that hopefully they don't end up at a sale barn. And so far the officials have been very cooperative with us. And I just want to say that because, you know, I'm constantly advocating for farm animals, and in the midst of everything we're doing in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, I just had to come out here and see what I could do to help that along.
Absolutely. Good work, Renee King, son, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Appreciate it.
Google has all but banned the movie series, What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Here we are on Forbes Books at Bedtime, and we have a special guest, Greg.
She must be special because she showed up here, we're at WPO, the Women President's Organization, and when this woman showed up to be interviewed, I thought I was watching Entourage or something.
Know.
I mean, this whole cadre of people
coming
up, kissing her, hugging her, photographing her.
Phyllis Newhouse, who, by the way, is on that fast track, number 7 on the fastest 50 growing.
Help us. What it,
50 fastest women live business in the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible.
And you're number 7.
Number 7.
What's wrong with number 6?
You know, I wanted to be this. This is actually my 6th year on the list. 6 years in a row.
Wow.
In a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, well, number 1 next year.
Yeah. Well, all my girlfriends are ahead of me.
I like that.
Oh, so it's now a friendly competition. I love that. I love that.
And, of course, Phyllis is the chief, or is the CEO. She is the chief, but she's the CEO of Extreme Solutions.
Absolutely.
So Extreme Solutions, for my 3 million listeners who may not know, and I'm sure most of them do, What do you do at Extreme Solutions?
So Extreme Solutions is a cybersecurity firm, and we specialize in ethical hacking. So we work with companies with very large, complex infrastructures and networks, and then we help them look at the risks and the vulnerabilities in their network. And we do this in three different ways. We do it by training their cyber workforce. We also help them with mitigate strategies long-term to protect their networks. And then we do operational intelligence that help them understand how vulnerable they are based off of their industry and particularly what types of attacks that they are more prone to.
How did you get here?
So I spent 22 years in the Army. And when I left the military, working out of the cyber espionage, I decided that this was definitely the way of the future in terms of private sector, and so I started the company in 2002.
Can I ask a stupid question?
No.
Are you a spy?
No.
In all seriousness, what you just said about you say cyber?
All women are spies, in case you didn't
that
know.
That was not the question I was exactly asking, but it was a great answer. So did you say you
worked in the military in information security, which was really, at the time, was cyber espionage. That's internal breaches that happen as we're leaking classified information, that type of stuff.
Wow. So when you left the military, was it your goal to create a business, and did you ever see yourself having the incredible success you have?
Okay, so I'll start with the first question, and yes, I did see myself starting a business. I knew that I was going to be an entrepreneur. I knew that I liked building things. I had already led organizations and stood up organizations within the military, so that was sort of like business 101 for me. So when I got out, I didn't think that was going to be the tough part. Mm-hmm. The tough part was now you've led people, how do you grow revenue? Yeah. How do you grow an organization? So for me, in terms of success, I never really thought I would have a very small business.
You always had a very big goal.
A very big vision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how important is that? That's a great point, Greg. How important is that vision? Do you think part of the problem for some women in business, or really anyone in business, is they have self-limiting beliefs, and that's part of the problem in growing revenue?
Right. I believe that a lot of women who start businesses, I've heard women say, well, I just want something small. I'm not trying to be really big, because they don't believe they have the capacity to grow. They don't think that they can build an infrastructure big enough to grow. And so they limit themselves by saying, well, if I just make it to $1 million, I'm going to be okay.
Yes.
Because they can't see beyond, or they don't think they have the capabilities to run a company that size. They don't think they have the capabilities to fund people, resources. And, two, they may not believe that they have it takes a lot of commitment to do that. And we talked about this yesterday with a group of young entrepreneurs, and we talked about what it takes in terms of commitment and discipline. And without the discipline, you certainly can't get to this level.
Coming from a woman who began her career in the military.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the question I was going to ask you is, what did you learn in the military that helped you? And you've already answered it in a way. But I'm also wondering, when you came from such a disciplined but also very rigid environment, or as I envision it, and then going out into the business world where you're the boss, what did you learn from the military that helped you, and were there some things you had to relearn?
So the military teaches you leadership 101. And I'm going to tell you, to me, I believe that some of your most successful businesses and leaders, they are already great leaders anyway. So I didn't just want to be a good leader in the military. I wanted to be a great leader. And that's the difference between the two, is that great leaders understand how to build good people and make them great leaders. And so I knew that starting a company, I had to bring in great leaders. I'm the visionary at this point, so I need great leaders. And so that was the thing for me, was as long as I surround and build a team of great leaders and give that team the responsibility, they're responsible for growing the company. I give them the vision and they help grow that company. And that's, to me, how some of your larger companies have grown, is because they brought the great leaders in that know how to do it.
Where do you see the future of, I mean, I think your company, obviously, every year you're growing those revenues. You're in such a wide open space, I think, because how vital is security? How vital is what we're talking about with so many open ports and so many problems with, you know, again, security?
Well, I can tell you why this industry is going to continue to grow. Number one is the attacks that we're having, the breaches. When we start talking about democracy, you know, when we start having these types of cyber attacks in our democracy systems around the world, not just in the U.S., and then, too, we really don't have a workforce that exists right now. So we're building a brand new workforce. Your traditional IT guy will not even exist in 5 years. You will have to have people that understand cyber, and very complex cyber attacks will happen in the next 2 to 3 years. So why will Extreme Solutions grow? Why will I be number one in the next 5 years on the 50 fastest?
And we want to talk to you every year along the way.
Every and I say this not in arrogance, but when you look at the average cyber job right now, for every company, you really almost need 3 guys that understand cybersecurity versus 25 IT guys that don't have a clue. And so this is a growing field. And so what we're doing right now, we're training a workforce in my organization that doesn't exist. We're training them for other corporations. And so we have a cyber training academy that focuses only on teaching people how to work with some of your most sophisticated attacks in the world. And we work with them on operational intelligence, how understanding these types of attacks that they may not see anywhere else.
Wow. We're talking with Philip Newhouse. She's the CEO of Extreme Solutions. The website, by the way, is xtreme-inc.com. So it's not the word extreme with an E. It's with an X.
It's with an X.
Extreme Solutions.
Extreme.
Yes, extreme, as Phyllis is. You mentioned very early on while we were talking the term ethical hacking.
Mm-hmm.
Hope people understand what you mean by that.
Okay. So most people understand that when they hear I'm a hacker, they think that's a bad thing.
Right.
So ethical hackers are people who really do this and have a passion for protecting our national security,
yes,
for one thing. So a certified, in our industry, a certified ethical hacker is someone who's certified to go into networks. You know, so that's a difference between somebody who's not authorized,
yes,
and someone who's certified.
And certified, I would imagine, is both a technical thing and a security thing, right?
Well, it's technical,
both.
Yes, and you have to be certified by the National Institute, NIST, which is our industry certification.
Sure.
So it's no different than a CPA who has to go get certified.
Yeah.
Ethical hackers have to be certified.
But also, do they have to pass some kind of security clearance?
Background check. Yeah, and so my workforce, 99% of my workforce has minimally a top secret clearance.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How many people is that?
Well, right now we have approximately about 1,400 employees.
Holy,
yeah.
1,400? I didn't expect that.
1,400 top secret clearances, give or take.
Give or take.
And the companies you work for or with vary, don't they?
Yeah. So about 65% of what I do is on the federal side. And then we are also in private sector. So we're on the critical infrastructure side as well. Oil and gas, electric. We work with transportation, water departments.
You're protecting our infrastructure.
Yeah, critical infrastructure.
Wow.
Yes.
Pretty amazing.
I know. What keeps you up at night?
Okay, so please don't ask that question around my friends.
You got a lot of friends around here.
They might tell you that she never goes to sleep. But you know what? I would say, this comes back to that patriotic side of me. What keeps me up at night is worrying about in this country, people really still don't take this as a serious issue. We really don't understand the critical infrastructure that we take for granted every day, that what it takes to protect your water system,
yeah,
the water that comes in and out of your home that you drink every day.
Yeah.
So it's just those things, and that if we are advancing enough in technology in this country to be on the top of cutting edge technology, and then too, you know, our school systems, you know, promoting those STEM programs now so that we can be in a better posture 3 to 5 years from now. in terms of our
when
critical
you have 4,500 top secret
Phyllis Newhouse, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you guys for having me.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
ProPure Water Filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's P-R-O-P-U-R.
Steve Sirocco is with us, and you're going to enjoy this because, boy, what an interesting, interesting company that he's the president of. He's the president and CEO of Source America, one of the nation's leading sources of employment opportunities for people with significant disabilities. We know the numbers are staggering. I'll just give you one of them. 80% of Americans with disabilities are left out of today's workforce. And to me, that is pretty depressing. I mean, so that's the question, Steve, and thanks for coming on. And we start there. 80% of Americans with disabilities left out of the workforce. And why is that? That seems like such a burden, an economic burden, frankly.
Yeah, it's really an alarming number. Let me even back up one step further. What that really means is one out of every five Americans has a disability, right? So that's about 56 million people. And your 80% number equates to about 45 million Americans who are out of the workforce. So just imagine the state of New York and the state of Texas and their entire populations being out of work. That's the kind of staggering numbers we're talking about. And it's a crisis, and we're asking for a call to action nationally that to address this very significant problem a very misunderstood segment of our population, and it really needs to change.
Yeah, so as you say, a call for action. So what's the call for action in getting to obviously doing interviews like this one and getting people to be more aware of the circumstances, but what else?
Well, look, we need the federal government and the private sector to really join with us and the rest of the disability community to drive home the tremendous value that people with disabilities bring to the workforce. Not only do they bring value to work, but their lives are changed. We're talking about self-esteem. We're talking about independence, buying a home, and the ripple effect downline to family members who sometimes have to remove themselves from the workforce to take care of their loved ones. So it's a call to action by the federal government, private sector, and the disability community and our network of nonprofits to work together, and let's address this thing and improve the situation for all people with disabilities.
Yeah, so I love that. So how do you get people, how do you get companies, how do you find those companies, how do you encourage those companies? What do you do on that front to raise that awareness of, listen, there is a labor shortage, and there's going to be a bigger labor shortage, and people don't realize that, in the U.S. because of the rapidly aging baby boom population and, of course, declining fertility rates. So do you try to tell companies, here are the statistics, we're not making them up, here's something that you can do? What do you do?
So what we do at Source America is we serve as a vital link between the federal government and private businesses and our national network of nonprofit agencies, of which there are about 450. So think about Goodwill, think about Easter Seals. And what we do is link up those nonprofits who have a resource of people with disabilities that they're working with and the federal or private enterprises, and we find real meaningful jobs for people with disabilities. For example, let me talk about the Naval Training Center, Great Lakes, where all the recruits go for the Navy. They're getting fed. They're getting fed, and their food is being prepared by people with disabilities. So very, very misunderstood segment of our population that needs a national call to action to help out.
Yeah, and so it can be all kinds of different jobs, and that's a great example of one of them, a place where, hey, there's that fulfillment, there's obviously a need there, that's great. If you were looking at what are the things that can be done, and, you know, certainly how do you, the number one question is, and we've been talking about this, is how can you fix this problem and create what we call an inclusion economy?
Sure, that's a great question. So the first thing we're doing right now with you and I talking, we're truly trying to build a greater level of national awareness and to dispel ongoing stigmas that surround disability employment. You know, we call it the tyranny of low expectations, that people who are not familiar with people with disabilities don't expect much from them. And that couldn't be more incorrect. People with disabilities are an incredibly diverse group, much like any other minority group that we've seen over history develop. And people with disabilities can do an amazing amount of work. Let me give you another example. So if you call the U.S. State Department Passport Office, you're most likely going to be talking to a person with a disability who is meeting your needs. If you go into a military base and you see the grounds being kept, you know, nice and neat, and the lawns are mowed, you're gonna be seeing people with disabilities working on those jobs. If you go to a federal building and you see how clean it is, it's people with disabilities who are doing the custodial work. So it's a wonderful part of our economy. I think if we look at the statistics, we're talking about $150 billion in lost tax revenue by this 80% number of the workforce being out of work.
Wow. So for you, this has to be so fulfilling. What are you most proud of that you've been able to do something that's so necessary, because I think it's necessary, and I think people listening to me would probably say the same thing. What's rewarding for you being the president and chief executive officer of Source America?
Sure. You know, before I got here, I was involved with a wonderful mission. It was Homeland Security. We were doing some critical infrastructure for the department. department in a technology company. And I thought that was a wonderful mission. Then I got a call, and I started to investigate what was going on here at Source America, and I went through the process to with the board of directors. And then what really clinched it for me was going down to one of our nonprofits and actually meeting people with disabilities who are doing work, for example, on behalf of the Portsmouth Naval Hospital down in Southern Virginia. And I just said to myself, this is a mission, you know, I need to be a part of right now. And the other thing that I think the organization should feel proud about is some of the things we're doing on behalf of people with disabilities to not only increase employment, we're up to well over 100,000 people in our extended network have jobs, is a program that we're trying to launch nationally that moves people from all the way through the value chain of work from our nonprofits and into the community. It's called Pathways to Careers. And we have a wonderful example of a kid down in Utah. His name is Ty Ross, who was pretty much left out of the system for about 5 years. He found his way to one of our nonprofits in Salt Lake City. He applied for the program. And he's working at the Department of Education in a data center with a software development team. And nobody, this kid was counted out completely from the educational system. So if I were to point to something that I'm very proud of, it's Ty and others like him moving through our program to find truly, truly meaningful employment in their communities.
I love that story. And are the people, because, you know, certainly they're younger people you're helping, is there any age, anybody with different disabilities?
Well, we take the kids who are coming out of the educational system.
Uh-huh.
And when they reach working age, and we'll work with them to try to find them employment. The other thing we're doing is working with outside organizations to identify people who are coming through the system. For example, Special Olympics, where they take people mm-hmm. through their leadership process, and then we are going to be working with them to pick them up and take them into employment.
Wow, that's great. So work through Special Olympics too, as well. And how? And if people are listening to this and they want to reach out, where do they go?
So we're on the web, as everybody is, www.sourceamerica.org, and we welcome anybody to give us a call. Hopefully, we can help you out. If you know someone with a disability who might need employment, we can certainly point you in the right direction.
Steve Soroka, thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Okay, and thank you, and thanks for everybody for listening.
All right, what a great source, I'm going to say, because the statistics that I mentioned, 80% of Americans with disabilities, so they're not working, about $150 billion lost, Steve mentioned that. And then the third thing I threw in about these studies that have come up about the labor shortage in the U.S. over the next 10 years, because you've got this baby boom population, and that certainly is going to shift, and that's going to create this vacuum. And think about that, the loss of the income tax revenue, these talented workers that need to feel, as we all know, the idea behind any kind of work, hopefully you do something you really want to do and you're passionate about it. But the idea is that purpose, the purpose and feeling as though you are part of something bigger, I guess is the best way to put it. So what a terrific, terrific thing. All right, that wraps up this hour of the show for America Tonight. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to ever hit us up, you go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G, miracle.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.